It is so good to be here and to see you all here. And the Spirit of God is already here today. Already here today. So let's continue to give him the honor and give him the glory, because he's going to have a great word for us today. Because God is good, and he wants us to live in this peace that he has given unto us. So this morning, we just greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we greet you on the behalf of Jerry and Gina Doss, our pastors, and we give honor and thanks for them. My name is Curtis Young, and this is my wife, my partner, in this gospel. Yes, yes, Patricia Young. And we just want to just say good morning and thank you for all those who are viewing here in person, of course, but those who are viewing online. And we just let you know that God loves you, and he appreciates you, and he has a word for you, and he has a purpose and a plan for you, and he wants you to allow him to fulfill that plan. So we just thank you for viewing us, and we just want to continue to just thank all our campus, other campuses. You know, we have Pastor James and Lisa, who's overseeing and pastoring over the outer park. Not the outer park, but the Reynolds location. And we want to give thanks to them and the ministry that they do with the Overcomers Ministry as well. And we give a shout out to Liz and Eddie Warnick, who oversees the Outer Park Ministry. So we just thank God for them. And, you know, and Abundant Faith is big on community. You know, we have started off with the food pantry, and it's still going forth every Tuesday out from the Outer Park location from, I think, 5 to 7:30. We continue to just do a lot of work in the community, the Havens House, the Man's House, the living facilities. Everything, we give glory to God, because he has grown this ministry, and the ministry is just built upon, you know, reaching the world through faith, love, and hope. Okay, we want people to put their faith and their hope and their trust in Jesus Christ. And Christ told us not just to be hearers of this word, but to be doers of this word. And we thank you that he's doing it through Abundant Faith Christian Center. So give yourself a hand. And none of this can be made possible without your faithful giving to this ministry. You see that your work, your giving is doing an abundant work throughout this community and beyond. So we want to continue to thank you for that. And you have many opportunities to give. We can give online at 84321. You can give via the website, www.abundantfaith.org, or you can give, just drop it off at the church, or your ushers will be available at the end of the service for you to give your gifts. For we just want to continue to say thank you, so we can continue to prosper and grow in the things that God has called us to grow and prosper in. And any first-time guests here today? All right. Okay, I see one over there and one right here. Welcome you. Our ushers will give you a card so you can gather your information, because we want you to get connected to our church. And at the end of the service, someone will greet you in our family room to just tell you a little bit more about the church. And you saw the presentation of the growth series that takes place every Sunday at 9 o'clock in our family room. So we give you an opportunity to come and learn about our church, and we want you to get connected to our church and learn the history of our church and find out what your purpose and the call God has for you to fulfill through Abundant Faith Ministries. And you can connect with us at 94,000. Okay, that's our online way to connect with the church and find out information about the church as well. So we just thank God for that. Amen. On back of each seat, there's, you know, prayer requests. Okay, we take prayer seriously here at Abundant Faith. We ask you to always fill out your prayer requests and let us know, because your prayers are always being prayed over throughout the week. We have a strong prayer ministry that takes place every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Okay, so prayer is always going forth for each and every one of you. All right, so submit those prayer requests, and at this time, Pat will pray. Submit prayer.
You. I've been watching you over the years. God has an amazing gift in you, and the body of Christ needs it. So don't be shy. Don't be ashamed of what God is doing in your life. He's going to use you greatly, and you already know that. It's already been spoken over you, so I just can't wait to see what God is going to do. One scripture I was sharing with Norman during vacation Bible school, it just enlightened to me, and it's in Isaiah 43:4. God said, because I love you, you are honored. Because you are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you. I will exchange others for you. Nations will be the price that I pay for your life. So God, we just thank you and we praise you that we don't have to be concerned about anything because you love us and we are precious to you and you've honored us, Father. So we thank you for opening up supernatural doors of opportunity for us and our family members. We thank you, Father God, that no weapon that's formed against us will prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, we condemn it because we're your servants and our heritage is in you and our righteousness is in you, God. So I just speak blessings over the audience today, the congregation, Father. I thank you that you're going to reveal Jesus unto them in even a greater level, that they will begin to walk in the authority and the boldness that you've already given them through Jesus Christ. He died so that we can have this boldness. He died so that we can have this life and it more abundantly, Father. So I thank you for taking the limits off of our minds and taking the thoughts off of our minds about how we're going to get things done. You said all we have to do is speak your word, God. Just like you spoke it, Father, in the beginning, and the things that you said are still happening. So, Father, show us how to live like you live. Show us how, even I heard this week, how to be your mirrors so that when we go out, people will see Jesus Christ in us. And we thank you for it in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Meg. Got it? Good? Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus and for another opportunity. I thank God for this opportunity that's been afforded me to bring forth the word this morning. God's word is good, y'all. And this word is alive. And God has called us not just to hear this word, right? But to do this word. So Holy Spirit, we just thank you for your presence right now. I just submit myself unto you, and I just thank you for using me to deliver your word, Lord. Prepare the hearts, Heavenly Father, of your people. Prepare the ears. Open the ears to hear what you, the Spirit of God, has to say today, Heavenly Father. For you have blessed us with an incredible gift of peace. Help us to learn to rely and depend and walk in that peace, Heavenly Father. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. So we thank God for the topic of peace that God has given unto Pastor, and we're going to continue speaking about this peace of God. So the title of this message is Relying Upon the Supernatural Peace of God. Relying upon the supernatural peace of God. And we're going to begin with the scripture in John, the 14th chapter, in that 27th verse, where he says, I'm leaving you with a gift, a peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Don't be troubled and don't be afraid. Look at, because this peace is not just a normal peace. It's a supernatural peace. We're talking about Jesus here and the peace he gives. Look at 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, in that 16th verse. He says, let me make sure I got that right, Chip. Okay. All right. The 16th verse says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times and in every situation. The Lord be with you all. So this peace we have that he has given us, we have at all times and in every situation. Okay? All right, look at Ephesians, the second chapter. And we'll look at that 13th and that 14th verse. It says here, but now you have been united with Christ, Jesus. Once you were far away from God, But now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Jesus Christ. For Christ himself brought peace to us. Christ himself brought peace to us. He united Jews and the Gentiles into one people, okay? See, that's what the enemy did in the beginning, in the garden. He brought forth division, separation. Adam and Eve had complete union where there was no disturbances in their relationship and their fellowship with God. So our enemy is about dividing, making you depend upon yourself to make it and achieve things in life apart from God. Because he knows that's where our strength and our ability to live this life that God has given unto us is in him. So we thank God for Jesus that he restored that connection, restored that peace for relationship that we can have with him, where anything that the enemy tries to attempt to do to disturb that peace, he really can't, because we can have a peace that God has given us through Christ Jesus that surpasses all understanding. It befuddles the devil when you are putting your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you align the mind of Christ and be developed in you where you think like God and you recognize his schemes and his strategies that he tries to use to prevent you and draw you and separate you from God. It confuses him. It befuddles him. I'm doing all this and all that to them to discourage them, to cause them to lose their hope. And they still love God. They still trust in God. They still believe in God. This is the type of peace we're talking about today. The peace that Jesus gives. The peace that Jesus is. Okay? So let's look at, he says, I'm leaving you. He says, this is, we'll go back to 14:27. Peace I, Jesus, leave with you. My peace. See, it's personal. My peace I give to you, okay? I'm leaving you with a gift, a peace of mind, a heart, and the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give, okay? For John 14:26, he says, when the Father sends the advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach and remind you of everything I told you. Okay, so this is a discourse that Jesus began to have with the disciples, preparing them for when he was leaving, okay, and letting them know that there's the enemy who's coming, and he has nothing to do with me, okay, and all he's going to try to do is distract you in this life, but I want you to remember what I've given unto you, my peace, and I want you to depend upon this peace. Because it's going to give you the strength, and it's going to give you the ability, and it's going to remind you that I'm in you and that I'm with you. And nothing, the gates of hell will not prevail against you when you depend upon me and trust me. He said in John 16:33, he would continue to tell them, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, I love the word, he tells you the truth, it's the truth. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. But take heart, because I have overcome the world, the ruler of this natural world, Satan himself. You will overcome. You have overcome. He that's in you, in me, is greater than he that's in the world. And when I was looking at this, you know, all kinds of things, because this life, God has caused us to experience with him. So you got to experience God and walk with God. And you will learn and see how alive this word is and will become alive in your life and how real and powerful it is when you depend upon it. Because you're going to have trials and tribulations, he said, but be of good cheer. And I was thinking about a time when I had committed about 20-something years ago when I just made up my mind that I was going to commit to living the life that God has called me to live. I mean, at this particular time, we live on the south side of Chicago, and God was saying, it's time for y'all to move into a house. And we weren't making that much money at this particular time. Pat together, combined maybe $45,000 a year. And we were living in a little apartment, two-bedroom apartment, and paying me $354 a month. And he said, it's time to move into a house. So we're looking, trying to control where we're going to go and seeing all this and that. And we had some friends that lived, moved out to the Bolingbrook, Illinois area, and it was building houses as a new subdivision. They said, well, we just moved out here. It's nice. You guys should come look at it. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. But I didn't do it. We still looking around in Chicago, south side of Chicago. And me and Pat had no peace. Whatever house we looked at wasn't an agreement. So Vinny, it just came to my mind. Lord said, move to the southwest suburbs. So we went out, looked at the properties and everything. We both had peace that this is where God wanted us to be. So God worked it all out, and we got the loans and everything. And right when we was about to close on the house, the monies was due, and we had money. We were short, for the closing. You know, but if God set it all up, we just got to believe that he going to work everything out, right? So sure enough, we got a letter from the income tax service. You get a letter from them, you be like, oh, Lord, what we owe the government? But turned out the government made a mistake on our taxes, and they owed us. And it was the money we needed to move right on into the house, all right? So, so now we move into the house. The mortgage we was paying right in our apartment is $354, right? So now the house note is $859 a month, all right? So things still tight, y'all, but we follow the Lord, believe in the Lord, no matter what. Make it happen, okay? Thank you, Lord. And then a month later, after being in the house, we get another note from the mortgage company. They said your mortgage they forgot to put your taxes in. So now you're going up from $859 to $1,320 a month. So, boy, the devil trying to rock our peace. but Lord had already shown me he'd been teaching me how to walk by faith, not by sight, trusting in his word. And that was one of my main scriptures in Proverbs 3, 4, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. So I know I was acknowledging him and everything. He sent me and Pat to Bolingbrook and move into this house. So if he gonna make sure to supply the need, right? So the Lord arranged it where I ended up having certain interviews with different companies, and I ended up getting the job. I went to Walmart to interview. You don't know how the Lord gonna work in your life. That's why when you acknowledge him, I'm telling you, he can use people and situations to help you through your trying situations. Me and my friend, I had a friend who grew up since seventh grade, and my nephew, he was already working for Walmart. He told me they was seeking a lot of opportunity, a lot of opportunity for management positions. So I told him, okay, good. And he gave me a name, a little district manager, and I'll say right before I had the interview, I got a call from one of my good friends I've been knowing since seventh grade. Out of the blue, he called me, and we were talking and everything, and he told me he had just moved to Bentonville, Arkansas. That's the headquarters for Walmart. And I told him, yeah, my nephew said there was opportunities, and I'm just thinking about, working for Walmart. And he said, yeah, you got a name for me? I'm a district manager. I said, yeah, I gave him the name. A week later, I got a call from Walmart to come in for an interview. Being this manager, it wasn't really an interview. It was just a conversation. And after the end of the conversation, he said, I'll be foolish not to hire you after the good remarks I got from somebody from the corporate office. I can tell you're going to be successful. Walk out of that office with a $17,000 raise. More than enough to take care of whatever. And then I needed a car. Right before I was about to start, got a check in the mail from American Express credit card company I used to work for. For like $2,500, enough to put down and get me a car. God will work everything out for us no matter what. When we focus in on him and keep our mind set up on him, he will keep it at perfect peace. So when even challenging situations may come, where the enemy may try to put doubt in your mind, you just keep your focus on God, and you'll see how he'll work it all out for your good. Mark 4. And this is a situation which is one of my favorite parts. Well, I love the whole Bible, but this part I love a lot. is in Mark 4, and this is the story about when they was on the boat. Okay, I love this one. Look at 35. All right, so here on the 35th verse, it says, as evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's cross to the other side of the lake. So they took Jesus in the boat. I want y'all to pay attention to Jesus, okay, and pay attention to the disciples, all right? So they took Jesus in the boat and started out, leaving the crowds behind, although the other boats followed. But soon a fierce storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat, and it came to fill with water. I'm gonna switch over to the King James Version because certain words you like to, yeah. I'm gonna switch over to, because I like the King James Version anyway for this particular scripture. He says, let's cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern, guess what? Asleep. On the pillow. Okay. Jesus letting you know this is what this supernatural peace I'm giving you, this is what it looks like when you operate and relying upon the peace of God. Jesus, who knows all things, he knew the storm was gonna come. But they didn't know, but he knew, right? So that didn't make a difference. It wasn't gonna disturb him, his peace, his sleep. Okay? So he's sleeping, he's chilling. And they awoke him, okay? And said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Okay, they freaking out. How could Jesus sleep through such a squall, even as his disciples feared for his lives? Perhaps he wanted to test whether they would trust his word, or whether to see if they would trust what he said more than their circumstances around them. See, you hear that right there? God wants us to trust his word. What he say? Everything, because Jesus said, enemy going to try to attack. He's going to come against us in our lives. He said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, he's called us to live. Okay? So are you going to trust what he said in spite of what you see? Jesus had already told them what they were going to do. He had said, let's cross over to the other side of the sea. Jesus could sleep in the midst of the storm because of that one statement, his word. No storm would or could alter his plan. I said, get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Guess what? We're going to make it to the other side. Verse 25, he says, these things I have spoken to you while you were present, I was present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. Peace I leave you, my peace, personal peace I give to you, not as the world gives, so I give to you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. He says, continuing that verse of Mark 4:39, he arose and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, and everything was still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm, not just a calm, but a great calm. That means as soon as he spoke, it had to bow. Everything just stopped and came back to normal. Okay? So this is a peace that is supernatural that he is showing us, that we got to speak to our situations. Mark 11, the chapter, in that 25th verse, it says, you got to speak to the mountains. Speak to those situations that the enemy may try to present in your life. And he says, if you speak and believe and don't doubt in your heart, that situation is going to remove. It's going to move. It's not going to prevent you from moving forward with him. It's not going to prevent you from keeping your faith rooted and grounded in him. It's going to keep you moving to complete and complete the task and do the task he's called you to do and complete. Amen? Because in Mark 4:40, he says, Jesus said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? And Jesus letting them know, you are born again of my spirit, my nature, my power, my ability is in you. You were created in my image and in my likeness. So I am living in you, and I'm going to express myself through you. You just keep believing me and always be reminded that it's me in you. And Jesus told us in John, the 14th chapter, in that 12th verse, he said, yeah, all these works you see me doing, but guess what? My power within you is going, you're going to be able to do greater works and even greater works because my spirit is multiplied in you. This is the supernatural peace, he said, I'm leaving and giving unto you. It's my personal peace. Receive it and walk in it. Jesus is our peace. He is our real peace. He was leaving the disciples and said to us that the peace which he himself enjoyed, the peace which Christ desired his disciples and us to enjoy, is that which characterized himself. Because you remember, peace is a fruit of the Spirit. It's God's characteristics being seen and demonstrated in our lives. He was leaving, he says, Jesus was never disturbed in his soul, even in the garden, to that point where the enemy was really hard pressing him before he went to the cross. But he said, if there's any other way, God, we can do this. But this was already the prescribed way that God had chosen for him to fulfill his mission for us. He said, not my will be done. Your will be done in my life, Father. Okay? So Jesus was never disturbed. Okay? It mattered nothing to him what was said of him or done with him. And through accumulated hardships, disappointments, injustices, cruelties, Jesus preserved his high level of serenity, which is peace. How did Jesus come by this peace? Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there would be no end. So we got an unlimited supply of power and peace that he has given unto us. His peace came from God. His peace was sustained and strengthened because of unfaltering and insatiable obedience to the will of God. Christ attained his greatness by his own faithfulness to the mission God called him to fulfill. See, it's all about the will of God and that word of God. When we are born again, rightly connected to God, he calls for us to give our bodies to him as a living sacrifice. He said, you're no longer controlled by this world, conformed by this world, fashioned by this world. You don't live by this world's standards, but you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And as you live out and walk out, you will see that my will is good, it's perfect, acceptable and perfect for you. Jesus depended upon his help. Jesus depended upon his help. The Holy Spirit, the God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they were one. And we must be one with them as well, as Jesus prayed in John 17 chapter, right? You know, just as they are one, we are one, I pray that they are one with us. They, just as they are not of the world anymore, because I want you to keep them while they're in the world. Remember, Jesus said, the peace I give you is not the word that the world is not the one peace that the world giveth. The peace he has given unto us will help us overcome the world. His peace, empowered by the Holy Spirit, will enable us to rise above human circumstances and also, I said, spiritual circumstances, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against demonic unseen forces as well. The worldly peace is different from God's peace. Worldly peace is temporary and depends upon circumstances. It doesn't provide the kind of peace Jesus is offering. Worldly peace is like this. When things are calm, we're at peace. When your circumstances grow dim, we're not at peace. Where is God? You know. God's peace is out of this world. It's not of this world. It is not a temporary solution. It is a permanent solution that is given to us, which empowers us to live in a supernatural place of contentment while in the midst of any struggle or any adverse situation. That's what that peace surpasses all understanding. And it made me think about Paul. He in the Philippians, the fourth chapter, whether abounding or whether abase, that didn't make a difference. Whether he had a lot or had a little, it didn't make a difference. What mattered to him, and he knew all his help came from, was having that peace and contentment in that relationship, in that oneness he had with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our Creator of peace is the one who created us. He is our Lord, our Creator, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. The peace we receive from God is beyond natural comprehension. It is a supernatural gift that can only be received by having a proper relationship with God, made possible by Christ, only Christ. If we want the peace of God, we must first have peace with God. Peace is a gift. There's nothing we can do to deserve it, but by God's grace, he gives us this peace. Jesus doesn't just give us the gift of peace. He personifies it. It's him. Jesus doesn't just give it to us. God's way to bring peace to our world isn't by giving us strategy, but by giving us the person of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. This is a courageous peace. This is a bold peace that we have. Because the world is going to try to attack us. But he said the gates of hell won't prevail. The church continues to move aggressively forward against any attacks of the world and overcomes it. The peace we have received from Christ isn't a fragile peace given by the world, but rather an unchanging, courageous peace. Courageous peace is the revelation that we step forward knowing that we can fix our eyes on Jesus, knowing that God is working even when we don't understand how he's working it. Supernatural peace of God enables us to act confidently in the character of God. Courageous peace is the conviction that says, I cannot find peace in myself, but I find it in Jesus. By choosing to put my trust in Jesus, I'm putting my trust in a constant peace, an unshakable peace, an unmovable peace. Okay? If we're going to live in a position of peace, we've got to surrender our expectation of perfection. Because the enemy will play on you. Our perfection is only in Christ. You call yourself a Christian, you said this, you did that. Or he'll play on you and say, did he really say that? Or did he really mean that? Where's your God at now? But you got to know that God is with you always. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. If he said in the scriptures, in Psalm 23, he'll lead you through the pathway of darkness, of the shadow of evil. Okay? He's with us all the way through it. And at the end of after we go through that darkness, he's going to have everything laid out that we need. Provision is already paid. The table's already spread. Guess what? Right in the presence of the enemy. So we don't have to worry. He said, we're going to live in this place of peace. We got to surrender our expectation of perfection. Peace isn't found in a place or in a set of circumstances that are problem-free. No. While earth is our home, we will have hardship and difficulties, but the outside pressures don't have the power to take away God's perfect peace that we have through Christ. God doesn't always take us out of our valleys, but he will always bring us through them. It's often in the unknown that God shows us the most powerful revelations about who he is and who we are. Okay? He says, again, as we get ready to close, he says, I have told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have trials, you will have sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Satan is the ruler of this world, but we are overcome. He says he wants us to cultivate a life of peace. We have to put this peace into practice. Look at, oh, I love this one. Look at Philippians 4:9. He says in the 9th verse, the things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So don't worry, just trust me. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. He says, remember, in all things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. Romans 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Guess what? We can rejoice. Two, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character. Character strengthens our confident hope in our salvation. And this hope this hope will not lead to disappointment because we know that his peace assures us that he will cause everything to work together for our good. Amen. Amen. So we thank God.